The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Start my video?
No, keep the video going. I just in the road, something with the if you like lose signal, like your Wi-Fi signal or something, and you start to glitch a little bit, it like messes with the file in the road, and I don't know why that is. Like it'll like glitch the road thing, which the road is hardwired into your computer, so like I don't know why that
Why does the messages also affect it, but also the messages are coming in through Wi-Fi too.
Yeah, but their Wi-Fi shouldn't have any effect on the actual Rode microphone that's hardwired into the computer. So I don't know.
I know. You would think, right? Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
Welcome to this week's Dodger Talk, where we talk about nothing but the Los Angeles Dodgers and Chicago Cubs.
Oh, man.
Just kidding.
We can talk about basketball.
And the Lakers aren't doing too great.
But the Suns are doing good.
I don't care.
We could talk about the election.
Oh yeah,
let's do that for an hour.
Really?
No one's social media feed has been absent of election stuff the last couple of days.
Let's just talk about that.
It's all such good news and bad news and all this stuff. But we're not going to talk. We don't talk politics on our website, on our podcast.
Trucks. All trucks, and I got a lot of truck stuff. Well, actually, I don't have a lot of truck stuff. We kind of got written up this week.
We did. We got in trouble.
We got written up by HR, by producer Will. He said we need to start answering these questions instead of just putting them off.
Well, if we don't answer them, don't say we're about to answer them.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
So we're not, we should just put, so now we're just going to put them off every episode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thought it would be funny to have like a running joke at the end, be like, all right, we're gonna answer some episodes next. All right, some questions next week.
Yeah.
There is have a running joke.
Krabby Bob's, the restaurant. I don't know if it's on all of them, but the one in Diamond Bar or La Puente had on the side, it said free crab tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So like
something. Yeah, like
we're
that.
Gonna answer the questions next episode.
Next episode, we'll answer all the questions.
Yeah.
This week, it's all about Paul. No, just kidding. Again, sorry. But no, yeah, I went through the Instagram and the and YouTube, and I scoured and I screenshotted, and I am pretty ready to go here.
Okay, the two questions that that we had that we've been meaning to talk about.
Yes, right off the bat.
Right off the bat, I have them here in my album called The Drop, which is right here, and it's okay. So that one. Okay, so we have two.
Yeah, okay. Hit me with them.
This one's from Danny, and I just screenshot his
same
thing. Is this the leaning on the trucks one? So I don't I don't know his full Instagram name.
It's,
do you have it?
It's NOSYMPIN. No simpin.
No simpin. I'm assuming.
Does that mean you're not a simp, or
is he in no sympathy?
Oh, he could be in no sympathy. Sorry, Danny.
Let's play the drop. Ready?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, go.
Drop.
Dropping in.
Drop in.
Drop.
Drop.
I dropped everything. I knew the drops would come.
Drop it.
Good.
All right. All right. Welcome. Welcome to this. But first of all, I'm just kidding. Actually, no. We're recording a little later today because I had to run down to Fuel Market to get your shirts.
Half of my shirts.
Half of your shirts. Yeah. You know, I went down there and I see the stack and I'm like, And I thought, so he has a machine that folds them and bags them, but he didn't have bags for that. So one of the guys is sitting there folding the shirts and bagging.
He never uses that machine.
Oh, I thought he had like, I thought that was what he uses. He hand folds everything and bags it. Yep. My goodness. That's too much.
Yes.
That's too much.
But I will not do, not do shirts without bags ever.
I know.
It's just, it's for shipping purposes and just for like storage purposes.
Yeah.
Because I keep way more shirts on hand. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Yeah. And you need them to be like, you know, put away nicely and stuff.
Yeah.
But I did see the C10 Vato's Grinder TV collab shirt. Super cool.
Is it?
I like it. It's super sick.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I mean, obviously the back is really cool.
Yeah.
And I love the art. I really like the front, how it's got the C10 Vato's with the GTV on the hat. Yeah. Like it looks super clean. Like in person, it looks super clean.
Sweet.
So anyway, back to these questions.
Hell yeah. Yeah. So if you're, this is going to be out Monday. We're going to Chubb's this weekend. But if you're going to Dino's, come by the booth. I will have the C10 Vato's Grinder TV collab shirt. I will have the shirt that you picked up, that one. And then you will have some shirts there too.
I have a couple little sneaky sliding into the booth.
Yeah.
But, I'm okay. We're putting off the questions again. Hold on, Will. We'll get there.
Calm down, Will.
Jeez, man. We gotta catch up.
Yeah. This is the only time we really came in hot. We kind of came in hot.
Yeah. We came in hot. We're coming in all sorts of ways. But, no, I'm super stoked for next week for Chubb's, this weekend. Well, like I said, I can't really shout out my stuff for this weekend for, the A Day to Remember show, but I had some pretty cool stuff. I took my Low Rides Good Vibes banner and bumped that puppy up to a 42x42. Mm-hmm. I was making it 24x24 previously.
Oh, was it that small?
It was small. It was really tiny.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, you know, I noticed as, you know, people were buying them and putting them up in their garage. Well, some dudes have gigantic shops.
Yeah.
So you get this little tiny banner. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it disappears. So I was like, oh. So I bumped that up to 42x42, which you can still get on the website.
It's also
livelifecustom.com.
It's also at the booth is more catchy to the eye.
It is to have this giant thing to walk by, and it does. Yep. Like I noticed that too. Is with all your art, you know, when I have my banners up, I was like, oh yeah, this makes a lot of sense how this all works.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like, if I was to be so bold on this, like I feel like people are actually getting more for their bang for their buck when they're that big.
It's more value.
You know what I mean? Yeah. They're getting this giant piece of art for $50. Yep. Like, I mean, $60 on the website, but come at us at a show. It'll be a little cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like that too. I feel like people are really, you know, getting something for what they're purchasing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Dino's next week. Super stoked.
Yep. And, you just want to get into these questions?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
What else do you want to talk about?
No, that was it. Getting your shirts. It's always an adventure. Not really. It's really not an adventure, but it's just, I find it, I laugh every time I do it, you know, just because I'm just cruising down there.
Just,
it's cool that I got to see Brandon this time. Like, I hardly see Brandon. He's such a busy dude. I usually just see Hector. I talked to Brandon for a little bit. That was cool catching up with him. But
Brandon is just a cool dude. Hopefully he will let his guard down a little bit. I have some interesting post podcasts about Brandon. We will talk about post.
He wants to, he told me today he wants to listen. He does not listen. He catches the small clips on Instagram, but he says he wants to listen. So if this is the first one you listen to, Brandon, hi.
Hey.
Welcome.
Yeah. Post podcast Brandon.
Post podcast Brandon. Okay. Yeah.
All right, so let's get into
these dang questions.
All right, let's before Will burns
something down, huh?
Read Danny's question.
Yeah, I got Danny's question. It's actually so let me first start reading the question, then we'll get into it. It says, I'm gonna read this verbatim. Pardon me. Am I a dick? Had to politely tell a dad not to have his son lean on the trucks. His son was taking a photo with. I noticed him leaning on the Flojos 4Runner, then the Mini Cooper. Next was mine, and I stepped in. So that was like the first question. Then we had a couple other people comment too. I don't know if they want to be put out there, but yeah, a couple other people commented too. I had no idea that this was like a prevalent problem.
I wouldn't say it's like a problem, but it definitely, it's always been a thing, you know, like
I've always like, yeah, I've never, I'm not saying,
I mean,
I've
there's
never
not, there's not like kids crawling around on cars like crazy, but
right.
It does happen. And it's not just kids.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know.
You go to SEMA.
I've seen it.
Go to SEMA and watch the adults sitting in cars.
SEMA is interesting because, you know, yes, they're all, you know, everybody's there to be at SEMA, and they, and everybody's a car guy and they have some understanding, but I think there might be a little bit of disconnect at SEMA because since it's such a circus basically, and there's vehicles everywhere, maybe people like lose their inhibition a little bit.
Well, I think they, it also, it's like they look at it like, it's like, if you ever go to like the, a car, like the LA car show, what do they call it? It's like,
Yeah, the new convention center.
Yeah, where all the new cars go. I forgot what the term is
for LA Auto Show.
The LA Auto Show. They have them in every big city. They have auto shows, and the manufacturers bring, and you could sit in it in those cars and all that stuff. So I think there might be a little disconnect there.
Oh, that's where like it starts getting a little gray area ish.
And again, it's not a big problem. It just
it happens.
I call it the Yelp effect.
What's that?
The Yelp effect is no one's going on the internet to say good things about the show.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like they're, it's like the go to McDonald's and you, and if you, there's a McDonald's on the corner and they serve 5,000 people a day through the drive thru and they get 10 orders wrong, you're only going to hear about those 10 orders.
Right, exactly. I see what you're saying. Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. I, as filming and hanging out at shows for a long time, yeah, I've seen it happen. I'm not, I'm trying to think if I've ever seen like something completely outrageous. I have seen people getting in cars, leaning on cars, kids getting in cars. So at, I mean that's pretty outrageous, but nothing like
at our crazy. At our show, I want to say it was like the AZ Dimes guys or something. They had fingerprints run down all their cars.
Oh, really?
So either someone it looked like a kid because of the where they were, like someone running around through the cars and just dragging their fingers down the cars at night, you know, with the dew on it or the dust or whatever, and yeah, I don't know. I mean, kid, you say kids will be kids, but then also like, I think it's okay if a kid is like stepping on your thing to go up to the kid and tell the kid not to do it. Like, hey, don't do that.
Because, oh, yeah.
And then the parent, like parents get so defensive now when someone else intervenes with their kid. But as long as it's done in a respectful manner, I think it's okay. I don't have kids. I think you do. If your kids were young and you weren't paying attention and the kid sat in a car, stepped on something, and the person that owns the car, as long as they were respectful about, hey, you know, like, don't do it. But if they were mean about it, then it's like,
I think what happens in that scenario, and because like not that exact scenario has happened to me, but scenarios have happened before where it's like a pretty human response. Like you're just kind of embarrassed, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like you're embarrassed that happened. So when some people get embarrassed, they become defensive. Instead of like being embarrassed and be like, oh man, my bad, I'm sorry, they like start getting defensive. So like there are some people, if their kid does that and then someone says something, they're embarrassed, but then their embarrassment becomes defense, and then it becomes like an altercation kind of thing.
Why was it like
don't talk to my kid, blah blah blah. So
like I was at a Christmas tree thing, you know, where they big old Christmas tree at a mall or something, and then everyone goes there and they reveal the tree or whatever. And we were standing there and there were some kids playing football, like throwing a football around next to us. And they like the football like almost hit my mom, and they did it a couple of times, and so I like caught the football and I was like, yo, go over there and do it. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's okay.
Oh yeah, no, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, you know.
I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, they're not my kids and they're not doing anything. But it's just like they don't realize what they're doing sometimes. And then if the kid starts to get like mouthy, I feel like I should be able to punch the kid in the face.
That escalated very quickly.
Or the father in the face.
Maybe that. Maybe like your kid's a jerk, one free pass to punch the parent in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Can't touch the kid. Can't touch the wife.
Yeah.
Bring the husband over.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't know. My kids have never done something like that. I mean, yeah, maybe they've leaned up against something, but you know, maybe being hyper aware, you know, you tell them like, hey, get off. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
When it happens, just like you said, be respectful when it happens, try to handle it the best way you can, because like also it could go the other way. If someone's leaning on your truck and you start losing it, then that's not productive either.
No.
The other way around.
Yeah. And that parent of that kid, if you lose it on that kid, they just, you know, they might be the more aggressor, you know. You never realize who's going to be able to beat the who up.
Yeah, well, you know? I know.
Like you might think you're like a tough guy, but then all of a sudden the tougher guy emerges and you're just like, well, I messed that up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it's perfectly fine to tell a kid or to tell a parent, that, hey, can you have them not do that?
Right. Yeah. Oh, no, definitely. Yeah, 100%. I think that's it. Like I said, yeah, just never, I don't know, just never really crossed my mind too much. Yeah. But no, that was a good thing. Good question. Hold on, I'm trying to. Sorry, I am listening, but I'm also trying to, like, because there was another part to that.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. Just a couple other people saying, like, this, and I won't put these people on blast because they didn't necessarily ask to be. This person said, if I have my bed off at a show and someone walks up and puts their foot on the chassis or bumper and leans into it, that drives me up the fucking wall. I mean, yeah, like... That's yeah. crazy. Like, I don't know if that would, like,
I've never heard of that. There's like, there's different scenarios, right? So if you're at a show and the show's indoors and the people that are there are strictly for, they're there for that car show. Mm-hmm. But if then you're at like a public area where the show's happening and there are other people there, like for perfect example of this was Fremont Street. Like, oh, it is wild. Oh, it is wild to me to think that for years, we mm-hmm. parked our trucks on Fremont and left them overnight.
Yeah. You know what I mean? About the underground show from yeah. back in the day.
And Truckin' yeah. Nationals was there. Truckin' Magazine and them. They had. It is wild to me that we left our vehicles overnight on Fremont Street unattended. Yeah.
I seem to recall that some wild things happening back then. Yeah. With like people getting
because you're going to have stuff. You're going to have the just random people, drunk people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like you're taking a chance at that. At that point in time, you're kind of taking a chance. And if something does happen, it's kind of on you, but not on you at the same time, if that makes sense. Right. You know, like people shouldn't do anything, but you know there's going to be drunk people walk. I mean, I've seen fights roll out of those casinos. You know what I mean?
Oh, so yeah.
It's just like now if someone's like, hey, you want to park on Fremont and leave your truck there all night? I'd be like, no,
yeah, no,
absolutely yeah. not.
But yeah, and you're right. And back then it was just like, yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah,
who cares? Here's kind of like an interesting extension to that question. And this has happened. I've seen it happen more than a couple of times where like people are set up at shows. Nothing like that happens, but like an easy up.
Oh,
you know, yeah. that's happened before. Easy ups get knocked over.
This is
hit cars. That's sort of like a very interesting thing. Where do you go with that? You know, that happened a couple times to people personally.
Yeah. You know? Have car insurance. Like,
yeah,
because it happened to us at one of the shows here in Arizona where someone set up an easy up. It wasn't a club easy up. It wasn't a club member that set it up. But the easy up was unattended and it hit a couple cars. And like one dude was like, you got to pay for this. And it's just like, talk to the person that set the easy up. And then also where does the liability fall on the show promoter, exactly. on the person that set the easy up, like the club that set it up, you know what I mean? Like in ultimately you just need to cover your ass with car insurance.
And that makes the most sense. Like if your car's covered, there is, you know, that's remember our insurance conversation a couple weeks ago, how I was like learning the difference between like comprehensive and collision. Mm-hmm. That's a comprehensive thing. Mm-hmm. That's just something that happened when the car wasn't moving.
Yeah.
You know, and you should be covered. Your vehicle should be covered adequately enough to cover something like that. I think what happens a lot of times is a lot of guys underinsure their trucks.
They'll underinsure, you know? Or they'll put a custom paint job on it. And
then insure it like it's a stock like Tacoma.
A stock Tacoma or a stock yeah. vehicle. And you're just like, it's just part of that thing, you know, it's yeah. part of the responsibility as the owner to, you know, and it sucks because yeah, if an easy up blows and I mean, you've seen staked down easy ups blow. So
yeah,
technically that's an yeah, accident. Ours. That person didn't set up that mischievously or maliciously to do that. You know, that's why we do so much so to get our easy ups not to move. But at the same time, things happen. So,
yeah. Yeah. And then even if you called up your insurance company and you're saying this jerk put up an easy up, they're going to go like, what do we, he doesn't have a vehicle. He doesn't like, that's exactly, you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, it doesn't really, like, I can understand someone being really upset. I would be really upset at the situation, but you know, you have to like also, and I know this would be hard to do in the moment. You have to kind of like figure out, like understand what's happening and go about around the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Do you remember when at Mini Nats that one year when the guy accidentally hit the other truck mm-hmm. and the guy was like losing his mind. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about that once before, but also it all kind of fits in that same thing. Like you are taking this risk on, you know, by cruising up and down this street very closely together. Mm-hmm. People are having fun. Maybe not. Something is bound to happen at some point.
Yeah.
You know? And so you just have to like be, I think people need to start preparing themselves for that moment. Even if it never happens, I think you need to prepare yourself for that moment and be ready to like go through the steps in order to take care of it.
Yeah.
Which kind of like ties this conversation all the way around. You know, someone leans on your truck, you being a show goer and putting your custom vehicle out there, you have to run that scenario through your mind, understand how you're going to handle it in case it does happen, and then apply it to that situation.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Because in the end, accidents happen and some people are careless and some people do things not knowing and kids, and there's so many things. So you do like owning one of these vehicles and taking them to a show there's a little bit of a risk there.
Mm-hmm.
But and really, stop, really good question, because
yeah,
you never know when that's going to happen to you.
Yeah. And stop insuring your shit with just liability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really good. Oh, and then I love this part from this person, the last part. I don't care if kids touch the truck or climb on it or even get in and hit the switches. Kids will be kids. Till it gets a paint job, dropped. Yeah. That was really good.
Yeah.
That was really good. See, in this one, this person also weighed in. They agree. Just leaning on trucks, it drives them nuts when they see it. This person has gotten to fist fights over it. Again. Maybe we don't know what that, I don't know what that situation was.
Yeah.
So maybe it happened. I don't know.
Here's an interesting thing. At our club, when we used to go to shows, I used to get so pissed when other members would just lean on other members' trucks.
Okay. That's a very good. Yeah. I think that person even said something about
yeah,
that.
I think they did too. And I'm glad that they said it, because it reminded me of this. I wanted to talk about this. And I used to tell people like, don't lean on their truck.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but it's my friend. Or it's stock, or it's kind of beat up. It doesn't matter what the truck looks like. It doesn't matter if the owner's leaning on it. Like, don't sit on the bed rails. Like, these trucks are made out of the thinnest sheet metal ever. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, if the people are sitting on the tailgate, and then you can sit on the tailgate, like, or inside the bed or however, but just like try to be cognizant. I mean, I'm sure I've done it. I'm sure I've leaned on vehicles before too, but if you could try to be cognizant and not do it, it just creates better habits.
Now that it refreshes my memory, I've had to tell, again, like friends. Yeah. Be like, hey, can you not?
Yeah.
Like, but then you got to make a joke. You're like, hey man, you know, kind of like make a little joke out of it.
You
but
gotta, you don't want to, you know,
again, how to handle the situation.
Yeah.
Do you tell your friend you've known forever? Hey man, get the F off my truck.
Yeah, I think the friend you've known forever. Yes.
Oh yeah.
The person that you might not know by like, hey man, how do you say, you just don't lean on my truck? You know, it's almost like also knowing when you do, when you're doing something wrong. And again, it goes back to embarrassment.
That's exactly what
you say. Respond, and then in that moment, just being like, yo, my bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Being understanding. If you don't be embarrassed, it's okay.
Yeah.
Just be like, hey, look, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then go be embarrassed somewhere
else. It takes two, right? So the person that owns a truck can be like, walk up to the person and be like, hey man, can you not lean on it? And then the other person has to react a certain way. And because if you're just like from the other side of the room and just being like, hey, you effing moron, get off my truck. Like,
yeah.
You're the reaction of that. You're just intensifying the situation for absolutely no reason. Right, yes. Right. The person should know not to lean on it, but maybe they just don't understand what they're doing in the moment.
And sometimes, like you said, sometimes you just forget. You just check out and like, you're not really thinking about it. And you just, no, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So, you know, like this person says, some people do it without even realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then 99% of the time, it's sorry, I didn't realize what I was doing. Yep. Yeah, that was good.
It's just like in all situations, 99% of the time, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's that 1%. It's just like the outliers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's going to be like little bits of dead air as like we filter through these.
Yeah.
Cause there's other questions. What was the leaning on trucks, and then there was
the registration like another, one?
The registration. Yeah, we can talk
about
that.
Do you have that? Who asked that?
I do. So, yeah. So, why don't we do this? Because, like, we have a few that are kind of, like, random. Why don't we go through the two main ones, and then we'll
circle back. There's three main ones, actually, but we'll go after that.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, this person asks, and this is Cody Lloyd. I don't have his handle. From Instagram, he's all, what's your opinion on the different styles of show registration? First come, first serve, or the approval process for bigger shows? Go ahead. You being a show promoter, you like have more opinion on this.
Yeah, and we kind of
I don't
and we do things differently at our show than some others might do at their show. So basically it all depends on the size of the venue and the so our venue, the grass and the asphalt, prior to last year, we would sell 400 registrations, and we would do it pre-reg only. You know, so and the reason we did that is because if we did not do it pre-reg only and we just did it pay at the gate, the first few hundred that paid at the gate, those people might not be the ones that we want at the show. They might just be like the locals from the city that come in. And then what happens is now that pushes, if 100 locals show up, it doesn't leave room for the 100 mini truckers that we want there.
Right.
So we've kind of designed ours to where we know what type of show we want, so we kind of know we release it, and then that's it. And then there's shows like LST who they have to do it because too many people just would show up, like total, you know. And same with Mini Nats, like they got to a point where it was just like, it's just, you got to control it because the show is too popular, and it's the type of show that you want to throw versus the type of show that if you just had paid at the gate, you might, those people that come in, it would turn into something you don't want it to turn into.
It's a really interesting statement. The show you want to throw.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting way to look at it for the promoters themselves and the clubs putting on these shows.
Yeah.
That's because, like, you do, like, when you, I mean, I've never thrown a show, but, you know, many people who do, they have a vision for what it's going to be and for what they want out of it. And yeah, they should stick to that vision because it's their show. It's what it's, you're like the participants is what's making the show work and the wheels turn, so to speak, but it is the club and the promoters putting on the show with their visions behind it.
Yeah. And like I would like Mini Nats and LST just did this for the first time, but like Mini Nats, they just, I think they started this 2 years ago where they would hand select which vehicles they would like curate the show almost. And I would, that's a hard position to be put into because essentially telling someone your vehicle is not good enough to be at our show.
I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, if you're to really be raw about it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. You're saying it, no.
That's raw.
And then you go to the show and you see other vehicles there and you're just like, my vehicle is better than this one. Yeah. Why did they choose this one? And then your brain quickly goes to politics and it just goes to, oh, they must know someone. And then you get mad and angry. And what it comes down to is you have no control over it. So like me personally, so with Mini Nats, if I could submitted my vehicle and it got denied, I would just go anyways and enjoy it. And then maybe after it's all done, talk to Jason and ask him like, hey man, like what, this is a picture of my truck. You guys denied it. What do I need to do? Or like, what's going on here?
What didn't you see? Or
yeah.
Like what? Yeah. That's such a hard, man. That is, it's a hard tough position to be in. Yeah. Yeah. Lonnie and his whole crew are really finding that out this time around with the new layout for how they're doing things. I don't envy that at all. That's a hard, hard job.
Here's a good example. So our show, the Forbidden Show, on the grass, we decided painted vehicles only, right? So if you have primer, if it's the vehicle's not complete, it goes on the asphalt. And that's created this weird thing where, okay, if you bring in your old truck that's a little beat up, it's still painted, right? And then, or if you bring in your old something. So my thing was like, look, these clubs should self-police themselves.
Right.
Right. So if you're a big club and you should be able to tell your members like, hey, we only want the best of the best on this grass area. We're not saying we don't want you at the show, but just park in the asphalt. The asphalt is for that. You know what I mean? It's just kind of that area. And as a club, I would be like, okay, Frank, you know, before your 4Runner, you know, say your 4Runner is just gold and it had primer spots on it, I'd be like, bring your truck, just put it on the asphalt, and we're just going to take these five vehicles and put them on the grass. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know why clubs, there's some clubs that have had a hard time doing that.
Right.
And I don't want to be the one, like, we don't want to be the ones to tell them, no, you can't park on the grass. But at the same time, and I'm going to go over this in a live soon on the, on our club page or the show page.
Yeah.
And just be like, if we, as a club, tell you, you cannot park on the grass, that's it. Don't try to run up on the grass and point to other cars and say, well, you let them on, because you, now you just sound, you kind of sound like a complainer. You know what I mean? Like you sound like that person. Like if
and it puts
us in a it puts the show promoters in a really tough position. It puts
everybody in an awkward position.
Yeah,
it puts you in the awkward position as a show promoter having to say no.
Yeah,
it puts the club in an awkward position because now they have a member who's doing that, and then also it makes the person themselves in a bad position when it makes you look whiny. Two, like. That should be the ultimate thing is like, do I really want to be this guy right now? Like, and things have happened in the past, and we won't go into specifics about it, but things have happened in the past. And what it comes down to is like, hey man, that person has to live with themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones who has at the end of the day sitting there with their vehicle in their club being like, wait a minute. I think I might be the odd one out here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then what it does, and then what it does to us as a club, it undermines their decision. So I put a few people in charge of that.
Yeah.
If the person that's coming up on the, if the person that complains and then I end up making a decision to put them on the grass or not put them on the grass, it just undermines the club member's decision and then they're not going to want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So now you pissed me off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And because now they've rocked the systems boat.
Yeah. Yeah. And now we got to change things up. So I would say, and this person didn't ask this question, but I would say there's nothing wrong with like asking why. Mm-hmm. As long as you do it in a respectful way.
Don't do it in the middle of rolling.
And don't put it on the internet.
Yeah, 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 you exactly. Know, like,
oh, this is my truck. It didn't get in. And then go pick up vehicles that did get in and try to compare the two.
Right, and then just, don't do that.
Yeah.
That makes you look real bad.
It does. It does. You know, like, and also mistakes happen. Bad decisions are always made. Mm-hmm. There's politics involved sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. But at the same time, I think if you're like nice about it and you just walk up to the show promoter and you ask him a question and you get, maybe you don't know the show promoter and maybe you walk up to him and then now you've created a relationship. If you walk up to him and be like, hey, you denied my truck, or an email, a simple email.
Yeah. Like I said, it's real. You got to figure out in what context to do it in.
Yeah.
Not at the show, not in the middle of rolling. Yep. Maybe after the show again, like through email.
Yeah.
You know, maybe at another show, see you at a different show and be like, hey, you know, back at your show.
Yeah.
That's another thing. You know, you got to, it's like situational awareness. Mm-hmm. You got to like read a room know when to do.
Or just go on Facebook and really make it a big deal. So it entertains us.
That's also the other part of it too. Cause we're going to be in the club group. Just.
Yeah.
Now it's everybody's like, oh shit. No, but those are great points. But then also, you know, again, like we were saying, it's like the vision of the show promoter. The club has a vision on how the show should be, how the grass should be, how everything should be laid out. People should, you know, this sounds a little weird too, but, you know, people should respect that vision, you know. That sounds weird. That sounds odd. But if you understand what I'm trying to get at. Yeah. And it just makes everything go like a little more smoothly, you know.
And there's always gray areas too. Like we've had people say, oh, this is paint. And then we say, no, that's not paint. And they say, no, it's paint. And we're like, yeah, but that you painted that in 1983. That's factory paint.
Exactly.
And it's just like, look, there's always going to be a weird gray area.
Here's the thing. If I may be so bold.
Yeah.
If you have to ask yourself a question, then it's probably not the right answer. If you have to ask yourself or make excuses like, oh, this is paint because.
Yeah.
Then maybe you should rethink about this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, you should be able to confidently go like, yeah, this truck's painted. It's going on the grass, you know,
or realize that your truck's not, it's kind of beat up. Like there was a guy in a C10 that he would come every year. And I remember him coming in and I was like, yo, you got to park on the asphalt. And he goes, this is paint. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you just look like you are the one that looks dumb right now.
That's what I'm saying. They have to live with themselves. Yeah. I remember that dude too.
Yeah. Like you, okay, go park it on the grass.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to walk around. Yeah, they're going to question us. Like, why'd you let that on the grass? I mean, well, because he said that that's paint. So you guys go be the judge of it.
Mm-hmm. And go let them know.
Yeah.
And some people will, actually. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, like this, I mean, now it's been a long time now, so it's not kind of like relying on an old thing that happened. But, you know, sometimes like one guy, he came, truck not painted, said, I'm coming back next year, came back painted,
yeah,
you know, graphiced out. Like, it kind of like keeps it...
Motivated.
It's like we're talking a lot about, you know, about motivating and representing and being the best you can be, you know? Maybe that's a little
and we push you need. We don't have a club participation award at our show because of this.
Right.
We're not doing this show to get to, like, it's not a money-making show. Like, it's not a it's a business, but it's also not like a business. We don't charge spectators. You know, we used to have to do this at Lake Paris because they would charge us up the wazoo.
Different animal.
So we would have to appease people to bring them in. More awards, more of this, club participation. Hey, bring all your club cars out. Doesn't matter what they look like. Well, that's not a thing at our show. We want your club to bring out the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily the best of the best. Like, there's still like those cars that are just like whatever, as long, you know, they're nice and you want to show them and that's totally fine too. We're not trying to like make this like elite thing, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But it's just more of like a, just come out and have fun.
Yeah.
And
yeah, come have fun.
Yeah. And police yourself as a club.
Use some common sense.
You know, if you look at something and you go, I'm probably not going to park that on the grass.
Yeah.
Like, just self-awareness, like you said.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but other than that, like pre-reg, most of the time these clubs are doing pre-reg only because they only have certain space or certain amount of vehicles and they don't want to be surprised and they don't want to turn people away. I would rather get turned away 5 months before the show than turned away at the gate.
Also, it kind of makes the whole rolling process a lot smoother. Mm-hmm. It makes setting up the show smoother. You know, like you're talking about the Lake Paris days, having three lines, 75 cars, 100 cars deep each line, and it's just madness. You know, like,
because most of these guys throwing these shows, most of these people throwing these shows, they're just clubs. They're just people.
Yeah, they're just dudes.
They're just so
dudettes, dudes,
whatever.
Ladies,
yeah, like
men,
whatever. So that to make the whatever they feel is going to make their process smoother, more power to them.
And it goes to like why the Forbidden Show is set up like the Forbidden Show is set up, because then you have people who want to be there and do the job to make their jobs easier.
Yeah.
You know, the other way you have to, this is, I don't know any other best word to use. You have to employ people to do it. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't really want to do it, you need the manpower to do it. And then people are miserable and then it's not fun. And then it just turns into a thing.
Yeah. And if people remember that year, LST just went from a pre-reg only the prior year, people were sitting in the line for hours, hours. And so they looked at that and that sucks. Now when you roll into LST, it's just like, boom, boom, boom. It's a machine.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. And that makes everybody happier, and then less people complain, and that goes to show how much care the show promoters are putting into their show too, because like you said, they saw a problem, they found the solution, and they made it better.
Yeah.
So instead of like relying on, like, it could very easily, and this has happened to shows before, I won't point any in particular, but a lot of times it's like, well, this is LST. You should be, it's an honor you should be here. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it doesn't matter if it takes 6 hours to get inside. Mm-hmm. This is LST. No, I mean, they have that credibility, but they want to maintain that credibility because they have a really good show.
Yeah, yeah. Staying humble, but also being proud is very tough to do. You know, and when you get, and if people are online just beating you down, it's, you know what I mean? Like, you want to clap. I want to clap back so hard at people sometimes, but it's just like, it's just whatever. Most of the time, the people that are complaining don't matter anyways.
They'd probably, most of them don't even show up.
Yeah. And,
you know,
and then, but I also can see the flip side of, because there are shows that do this pre-reg only or whatever, and they make it a little more difficult than they need to. And that's
overcomplicated.
That's their prerogative to do it. But like our show, say you registered your 4Runner and then you sold your 4Runner, but you bought a Tacoma, and yeah, just bring the Tacoma. We don't care.
Right.
We do our pre-reg basically based on, we just need to know the numbers.
Right.
We don't care about the vehicle. We just need to know the numbers. But our show's a lot smaller than other shows that do this.
There are shows that do the opposite of that.
Yeah. So you have to bring the car you pre-regged.
Oh, interesting. And is LST one of those?
I don't know how exactly how they work. I think it is. You might be able to bring a different car, but we only have a few hundred pre-reg, like, you know, 300-400.
So that's what I was going to say.
So I'm able to manage it a little bit.
Right.
So say Frank, you're like, hey, I'm not coming. I'm selling my pre-reg to a club member. It's easy for me to go into Eventbrite and just change the information real quick.
When there's 2,500 of those.
When there's, 2,000, whatever. That, I get it.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
I wouldn't do it. If there was 2,000, I would be like, nope, sorry.
Yeah. You know? That makes, that's like the scale of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And plus, I've seen before on, social media and stuff, when it comes to that kind of stuff, like people trading pre-registrations or selling them, or like, it could get way, that's probably exactly why.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're just like, no way, we don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
It's not our problem. You can't figure out your life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And most of the time, again, shows went to pre-reg because of first come, first serve issues. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of shows out there that are first come, first serve. Most of them are still that way.
Yeah.
But, and I also think people do pre-reg to also get capital to throw the show too.
That makes a lot of sense as well.
You know, so if there is a pre-reg, it does help the show to pre-reg. So make sure you do pre-reg, because it helps them know who's coming, and it also gives them capital to get stuff.
To get going. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that was an interesting conversation. Now we can get into these little random ones here.
Yeah.
Some of them are pretty funny.
Okay. Where are they? Where'd you get these from?
From the drop Instagram.
Oh, did you? Did you go through there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was on it today.
Because I usually will answer questions as I will say, and then I'll put Brian, did you see
I can see that.
So the guy that was talking about music in Australia.
That's cool. One of them too. Right. Yeah, I got that one too. But we'll just start at the top and work our way to the bottom.
Okay.
Our buddy Rich, Tyler's our 38th favorite Canadian.
Yeah, no,
Rich is our
Tyler's
number
our
one.
Favorite Canadian. Rich is he's up there.
He's up there. He lives there.
Yeah. Rich Shuchuk from who owns Overkill Fabrication.
Yeah, yeah, from Canada. He says, now that baseball is done, are you guys going to take up watching hockey? Every baseball fan gets excited to see bench clearing brawls. There's fights over hockey games and hard hits that hurt to watch.
Yeah.
I like hockey. I mean, I'm not a – he asked, I can be a LA Kings fan. I've been an LA Kings fan for a while. Just, again, LA team, hockey, yeah. LA Kings fan.
Yeah.
I've never been to one. They have the minor league team, the Ontario Reign. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty accessible games to go to. The Kings is just like Lakers and just like basketball games in general. Yes, it's the Kings play at the Crypto Arena as well as the Lakers. And actually, funny enough, this did not dawn on me until Oliver kind of pointed it out, because we were talking one day about going to games and tickets and stuff like that. And he goes to a lot of Suns games, and I go to a lot of Dodger games. And then we were talking about the price comparisons too, like, you can go to a baseball game for the minimum like $40, but a basketball game like a minimum is like $100. Mm-hmm. Never really dawned on me. He's like, yeah, well, that's because there's only 20,000 seats at Crypto. There's 54,000 seats at Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And that extends, like I said, over into the Kings games. But the Ontario Reign is just like any other minor league thing. Tickets are pretty cheap.
Yeah.
It's close. It's only 40 minutes away rather than like an hour and a half away. You know,
so I've been to a Ducks game.
Oh, that's cool.
And I've been to a Coyote game out here.
That's right. Yeah, you mentioned that in the message about the. So they left Arizona. Where did they go?
Yeah, I don't know the things, but so they were here right next to where Dino's is in Glendale, and the contract on the stadium, something happened. They obviously ran out, so they moved to the Mullet Arena, which is at
it's
just
amazing.
A funny name.
That's an amazing name.
Yeah, and so they were playing at the Mullet Arena, which only seats 5,000 people or 4,000 people. So it was kind of cool because you could go see an NHL team.
Yeah.
You can go to a Coyote King game for and see them. It would be like going to a Dodger game at the
At a minor league stadium.
And, but then they were looking for places. So the city of Tempe, they were going to build a stadium there in this whole entertainment district. But the people... It wasn't even going to take any tax money from the citizens. It was going to be completely privately funded, but they took it to a vote to the city and the people
and
said
no.
And everybody's comment was like, don't want my taxes going up. And it's like, you didn't even read this.
Dude, I mean,
yeah,
that's a problem. Yeah. That's a problem across the board.
Yeah, it's true. So yeah, like they probably created some memes and people voted based on memes because, you know, people like to do that. So like,
go on.
Yeah. So now they're in Salt Lake.
Oh, they moved to Salt Lake. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I apparently the owner of the Coyotes sucks, like most sports teams owners.
Yeah.
Except the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that. Yeah. So we don't have one. But yeah, I've been to a Ducks game, been to a Coyote game, and they're crazy.
They're, I heard they're fun.
They're fun.
They're a lot of fun.
So fast paced. You're just like, yeah. I have no idea what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, but yeah, I just never got into it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just like sports in general. So yeah. I could sit down and watch it and have a good time, but yeah, I'd love to go to
a lot of the game. Sports I do are on this monitor, this, you know, this third monitor that I have. And I just,
yeah.
You know, I'll put NASCAR on. I don't care what it is. I'll just put it on and it's just kind of there in the background.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
The only thing that I like, college sports. I can't get into college sports. Don't know why.
Me neither. I have kind of a personal opinion about that, but I guess I don't need to air it or anything like that. But I don't. Yeah, I can't get into college sports either.
Maybe it's because I'm not from the South.
I guess. Oh yeah, maybe because they don't have a lot of professional teams there, so they have to kind of rely on that to be their professional team.
Yeah, and they're insane. The fans, the college.
Oh yeah, they're diehard fans. I just don't. The whole thing about, like, you know, I think they just take advantage of those kids, putting them on national TV and stuff.
Oh yeah,
like I said, but
aren't they? They can pay them now, right? They changed the law.
They can now. They can. Yeah. That actually has changed. Yeah. But for a while there, I don't know. I just thought it was a little exploitive. But anyway,
no way. No. Come on now, sports no. Exploiting people.
This one was the one you were talking about. With all this talk of LA, I've got to ask the question, can you actually breathe the air in Los Angeles? And he says, this is an Aussie punk band reference, if you know them. I don't know the reference, but I love Aussie punk music. Mm-hmm. There's this band called the Cosmic Psychos. They're from like 80s, 90s. They're a really popular Aussie punk band. But actually, and the reason I bring it up is I've been into this band called The Chats. Mm-hmm. You should look it up. They have a song called Smoko, and they just make this like really fun, like campy punk rock music about nonsense. It's a lot of fun. They have a lot of great songs.
Are they from Australia?
They're from Australia. Oh, cool. Yeah. And we're going to be talking to our Australian friend next week.
Maybe. Hopefully it all works.
Maybe.
Out. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. We can ask him a couple questions about that.
And
if he's into punk
he's
rock.
He's a huge Australian hip hop fan.
Oh,
and when I say huge, he loves Australian hip hop. So
I know nothing about Australian hip hop. Oh yeah. So that's really cool. And I love
really
hip hop too.
Really good Australian hip hop.
Oh, that's
real
awesome.
Good. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And there's a lot of bands. It's funny because there's a lot of bands that here that aren't as big here, but they're huge in Australia. It's same with look at like David Hasselhoff, how big he is in Europe.
Yeah, in Germany.
Yeah, whatever. It's just like here, no one. People are like, oh, Knight Rider? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Australia did have that. They had that little band came out of there, ACDC. I think, I don't know if you heard of them.
Oh no, I haven't.
Yeah, no, there's some small
band. Is that like a power company?
Yeah.
So I have another question. I have one.
Yeah,
I got one. Tony in our club.
Oh,
Tony and Tiffany.
Tony Newman. Yeah,
yeah. He called me the other day. He goes, "You haven't talked about my question, you jerk." And I was like, "Well, that's because you didn't message us on Instagram." So,
did he tell you in person or something?
Yeah, he told me. So he, okay. And we can't talk about what they have going on because it is a secret thing.
It is.
So
yeah.
He said, he asked my opinion about it. So I'll ask everybody else's opinion about it and yours. If you have a build going on, is it better to post progress like I'm doing with my Tacoma? Mm-hmm. Or is it better just to get it done, don't post anything, and then debut it at a show?
The second thing is much harder to do nowadays.
Well, it's not hard as long as you have an agreement with yourself.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
it's mostly harder for you to do it, like, because you're so excited about it and it's so accessible to share things now.
Yeah.
My opinion is I like the second one where you don't say anything.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was gonna say with my thing is, you know, I have a bit of a problem with oversharing on Instagram. So I don't think I could physically do that. I would just have to put something on there.
So like I'm doing my Tacoma is a monetary reason, you know, because I'm making videos and those videos I want to, you know what I mean? Like things based on those videos. Mm-hmm. So like, and also I enjoy making the videos too. So it's not all monetary, but it is. So I have to do that. But if it was up to me, I would just debut it. I would never post anything about it.
Because if you think about it, let's say you didn't have this monetary thing going on, and there's no reason to post it.
No,
you don't.
It takes not the, like it also, like when people post a rendering and then they post the build, you already know what the thing's going to look like. So you That's get true. To this show and you're just like, cool. But when you go to a show and there's something new you've never seen, because of the day and age we live in, to me, that is way more exciting than anything else. You know, like it's just like, oh, I've never seen this before. And then it just creates this thing. Cause some vehicles take so long to build. It's so long and drawn out, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's also another part of it too, because like, from a consumer point of view, I like watching because like, I like stories. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, the stories of these vehicles coming together, the stories of the builds coming together, especially if the person makes a little longer form or content, like they make YouTube videos or something, even if it's not for monetary gain or not, they just are documenting it. I think it's really fascinating. It's really cool to follow along because it like gets me, I'm a little bit the opposite because like the more I see it, the more excited I am when I finally get to see it in person.
Yeah.
There are a few builds out there that, you know, been going on a long time. And that when I finally do see it in person, I almost feel like I can appreciate the little things more.
Oh yeah,
because I know I've seen the struggle to get to that point. You know,
it also depends on the person that's posting those things.
That's what I'm saying. Right? So it depends on the content they're creating. If it's very well documented and you're very invested in this story, the payoff seeing it in person is much better.
So that's
what I was gonna say. There's just an opposite of that too, because sometimes builds take forever. Our good friend Carlos Caliboy, you know, his 57 ragtop, you know, he's been working on it for a very, very long time. And I'm invested in that one because it is, like I said, a longer form of content. I want to see that. But then I could see that too, where it's all like where you kind of like lose interest and it's been too long, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But then there's the opposite of that, because you can do that same thing in reverse. And I've seen it where they come out, they debut it, whether it's like a SEMA build, and they'll debut it at SEMA. And then you can even look at like the Riddler builds. They're not allowed to be a Riddler contender.
That's like a rule.
Yeah, because I know shops, I film at shops that have Riddler builds there, and I cannot, like I have to make sure that I'm not putting that in the video.
Yeah.
So like, but I think you can do it in reverse, is you debut the vehicle, and then you start to post from the beginning.
That's cool.
Forward. And so it's just like, so you've seen it already done. And then now you're going to see this vehicle at, say it debuted at SEMA, then you see it at Dino's, and then you see it at LST, and then you see it at Good Guys, and you see it at these different shows. And then each time you see it, you know more about it as the storyline progresses.
Yeah. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
That takes some dedication though.
Dedication and self-control.
Yeah, because you have to film the whole process, then build a truck, then debut it, and then have the self-control to release it.
Or just pictures, like just on your shop's Instagram. You know, I get mad at Jeremy all the time at Tray 5 because I'll go down there, I'll film something.
Yeah,
Before I even edit it that night, he's posting stories about
click,
it.
Yeah. Click, yeah.
And I'm just like, dude.
I'm Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally that way.
Yeah, so it's just like, but I do it with my truck. Like, I won't post pictures on Instagram until the video's out.
You've been pretty good at it.
Yeah.
You've been really good at it.
I won't even tell anybody. I won't even send pictures.
You won't even talk about it here.
No, I won't.
You won't talk about it on the podcast?
Because there has to be an element of surprise.
Right, right.
Somehow, some way. If you just say everything you do and all this stuff, and then the video comes out 2 weeks later, it just takes it away. I would rather do it the opposite way.
We've talked too about that thing where, like, you know, you say something and that satisfies your urge to do it. Like, now I see that happen a lot with renderings and stuff. People do a rendering, it looks super bad. They put it out there, everybody give them tons of praise, and it's almost like they got their serotonin and
they already got it. They don't need to.
I don't need to build a truck. I already got it for just a drawing that I didn't make.
Yeah, and look at how Ben did his Toyota when he body dropped it. Remember
that? Yeah, going that's to right.
Mini Nats, like he had everybody fooled, and I love that, you know, like I really like that. Like,
yeah,
it would be like if I want to debut my truck at Forbidden, everyone knows what it's kind of going to look like. But when I get towards that, I'm not going to release the video, you know what I mean? Like the videos that lead up to that will probably be similar to that.
Yeah.
Cause it creates a story.
George is doing a really good job of that with her truck. Because her truck is currently sitting at SEMA done, but she's still releasing videos of the build leading up to that moment.
Yeah, so she did. Kinda, the way she did that series was just, it was perfect. It was like the way it should be almost.
Yeah, yeah. Really cool.
Her truck will be a topic later on, I guarantee it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about that thing.
Yeah, I'd like to almost have her back on.
Oh, yeah, talk about it. I want to do them. We should have them both back on because I want to talk to Jaime about his build, about his stout.
Oh, yeah.
And that whole process of doing and putting it together and coming up with the idea and executing. So, yeah, we definitely need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think there's a lot. Yeah, I want to ask her about her bed. Because I've gotten so many messages about her bed. Like,
and I'm just like, everybody does.
Yeah, they're like, what do you think about no bed or bed? And I'm just like, I don't know, because it's not my truck. You know what I mean? I've had people hit me up and they're like, are you going to keep your wheel silver on your truck? I'm all, yeah. And they're like, I don't know about that. I'm like, that's fine.
That's funny. I've never gotten that. Maybe people don't care enough about my truck, but no.
I'll tell you. I can talk
about my truck. No, I know you'll tell me.
Anyways, okay, so yeah, her bed's gonna be a hot topic, and I want to hear her talk about it. So.
It will be in the future. It already is.
It already is, but it'll be nice. It'll be nice to ask because I have questions for, but I want to talk to her in person because I feel like
I think it'd be really cool to catch up with both of them because they've over the past like, well, I mean, she's either one of our very first guests. Mm-hmm. So over this long time, they've built two really interesting, unique trucks and want to find out about them.
Yeah.
But moving on from that, what did that come off of? That came off of what question?
Tony's.
Oh, Tony's question. The debuting.
Yeah, debuting.
Yeah, the debuting. Either way. Like, I think it's cool either way.
Yeah.
I think personality, it all depends on your personality and what you want
to
do.
Yeah, and your business. So do you have a business building cars? Are you paying a business to build
and
your
he
car?
Does, and so it could go either way for him.
Yeah, yeah. I think so what it is he wants to talk about it and Tiffany does, she wants to keep it a surprise. You have two different types of people there.
Right, you know? Right. That's interesting.
Yeah, so.
An interesting dynamic.
It is, yeah. But yeah, so... What else? Do you have anything?
Yeah, I got a couple more.
Oh, cool.
This guy wants to know if we need to borrow a trailer. He has a trailer to let us borrow. Thank you very much.
Who's this guy? Would that be the guy that gave you his a gimbal?
Oh my! Why do I keep forgetting that guy's name? I'm so sorry, dude.
That dude's old school OG mini trucker from the Inland Empire.
I forget his freaking name. I'm sorry. He's such a nice guy.
He is. So if you ever need a trailer, hit the guy. Be like, hey, man, I forget your name all the time, but can I borrow your trailer?
I'm so sorry. I hope he at least takes it like
he does.
In jest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He knows. Thanks, he knows, man. You're a jerk.
Appreciate it. I know. I'm a terrible, terrible person. This person, another, it's funny that there are multiple questions on, since there's no baseball to talk about, what's there to talk about next?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this person asked about, he's all disappointed in the lack of baseball. So my question is, what's your thoughts on Banana Ball? It's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining.
They just had a thing where people were complaining about their ticket prices, but it was the third party people selling the tickets. Their ticket prices are actually, they cap them at like $40 or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's the scalpers.
But they sell them so fast. Yeah, it's the scalpers.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely would like to go to one of those one day. This was the registration question. We covered that extensively. Bacon with a weird one. Question, which one of you was Catwoman for Halloween, and why is it Frank? I'm weird.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I was nothing for Halloween because I don't like Halloween.
Yeah.
And now we're gearing up for my next least favorite holiday.
Which one?
Christmas.
You got Thanksgiving in the middle there.
I don't like that one either.
Jeez, you're just...
I don't like holiday. I'm not a holiday guy.
Why?
Because it's too much.
You don't like being festive?
Yeah, exactly.
This comes from a place. Where does this come from? You don't like...
I don't know.
Is it
some sort of trauma?
Did you not get what you wanted as a kid for Christmas?
No, I got everything as I wanted.
Do you hate getting your... I remember we had this conversation. Don't you like...
Yeah.
You have to prepare everything at your house for like big parties.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah. And also, like, it's just a thing. Like, you got to get the things out, and then you got to put them up, and then blah, and then you got to take them back down and put them away.
It is funny that there's some people that like certain holidays, but then some people that hate certain holidays, and it all comes from, like, this something. Like,
maybe I'm just lazy.
Yeah, that could be it. Because there's certain things I don't... You know, remember where, like, when you were a kid or when you have kids or whatever and you're just like, hey, eat this for dinner. And they're like, I don't like this. And you're like, no, you just don't want it. But they say they don't like it because they don't want it.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah. I do. Okay. Yeah. Because I do like some things, the holidays, you know, Christmas. I love watching the Christmas movies, like A Christmas Story and Christmas Vacation.
What is your favorite Christmas movie?
Well, it's divided. It's definitely between Christmas Vacation and Christmas Story.
Yeah, I think those are the two.
Those are the two go-tos, best.
Yeah.
This is a tangent we're going off on, but I actually like Christmas and the Freemans are actually much like this too. Christmas Vacation is very ingrained into our family. Like my little family chat, like between me and Angie and the kids, it's called the Griswolds. So my sister every year makes me these really great handmade gifts. And like one year she made me she hand burned a silhouette of the guy pumping crap out of the RV, you know. Another year she made me a replica of that when the cat gets all burnt underneath the chair that plugs into underneath the tree. And then, like I said, so I call the bear on my hand, the bear I have tattooed on my hand. His name is Clark.
The lion?
Clark. No, yeah, the lion. It's a grizzly bear, so his name's Clark Griswold. Yeah. And then, so when I got my truck, this is actually a great.
The story. Tundra.
So when I got the Tundra, my sister came up and she's all, okay, well, let's go look at it. So I like we go outside, look at it, and she sneakily puts on a hat like Cousin Eddie, and then she puts her arm around me. She's all, it's a beaut, Clark.
Yeah,
and it just made my day, dude. It was so great.
So like. So the very first time I walked into a Bucky's, it felt like a Griswold thing. It felt like a vacation. Chase. Yeah, yeah. Just a very, Chevy Chase
vacation.
Like where, like, I mean, I could just see him walking in and it zooms into his face and he just goes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. And what's also crazy is the contrast between the two of vacation, National Lampoon's Vacation and Christmas Vacation. Christmas Vacation is very campy. You know, it's got some parts to it, you know, but if you go back and rewatch the original Vacation, it is gnarly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, the killing the grandma, cheating on the wife,
topless girl.
The topless girl. Yeah. it is so good. Wild. I love that movie, man. That was like growing up, there was like, that movie was so good. And you know, they filmed that at Six Flags Magic Mountain. Like
they did.
So if you look at the end, what's the park called? I forgot.
Wally World.
Yeah. That was Six Flags.
Here's another little funny story since we're just on this tangent right now. So they also later made a Vegas Vacation, right?
Oh yeah. Love Vegas Vacation.
Such a great movie. So funny. Well, one, and it came out when I was young. So I turn on the TV one day and turn over to like HBO or something. And I thought I was like, oh, Vegas Vacation. Great. I like it. I've seen this before. This is hilarious. No, that was Leaving Las Vegas. With Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the same thing.
No.
No. I'm watching this movie. I'm like, I thought this was way funnier than this. Just alcoholic and like get with strippers and stuff like that and drugs. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's anyway. What? How do we even get on that?
I asked you what your favorite Christmas movie was.
Yeah. And then how I don't like holidays.
Yeah.
Ben pointed that out a couple times. So like since Frank loves Halloween so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I like holidays. I don't get overly festive, but like, I just like the excuse to like eat a certain type of food or just like not do like being lazy around the house. Like just like, I just like that part of it.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
it's a different, it's a different type of atmosphere here. Cause
well, yeah, I mean, it's just you and Chelsea.
And my mom lives up the street. Different. So when we have Thanksgiving dinner, there's three people here.
That's true.
So it's really,
there's 25 people. Yes,
I probably hate that too. Yeah.
And they're all looking at me. Hey, Frank, what's for dinner?
You're like, I just want to go in my office and watch music videos.
Right?
Yeah.
Where's Frank? Where's all the beer?
You don't like being responsible for anyone for that many people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Whatever. Truck stuff. Any more truck stuff? You got any more truck stuff?
I don't know. Oh, we're leaving tomorrow. Today's Thursday. We're leaving tomorrow to go up to Data. Remember.
What's your plan?
Just when you leave. I have no idea.
You have no idea.
Lindsay's going to come up and did you figure your hotel room thing out?
Yeah. You have a guest. the little insight to that, because I didn't book my hotel for this past weekend at Chubb, so I didn't have a room. Honestly, just pure not doing it, pure laziness. However, you know, it's a big hotel. I didn't figure that this show would sell it out, but it did. But also, Roulette sent me an email. There's a big concert going on that weekend too.
Oh, and it's I wonder if that's why they changed the show. Did you get the email for the show area?
I saw the picture of it. It got shifted over, and they said absolutely no trailers in that one spot.
That's probably why.
There's a big concert, which is funny because the very, very first time I went to that show, I went by myself. It was just me. I didn't even stay. I didn't even plan on getting a room. I just stayed. And Doug ended up having a room, so I stayed in that room. But I didn't really plan anything. I just went up there. And so we do the show. Show's done. We go inside the casino. We hang out at the bar. We start hanging out. And, you know, everybody's having fun. You know, things are progressing. Well, there was a concert with a Mexican, norteña music, mm-hmm. You know, lots of accordions, that kind of stuff. So very Mexican cowboyish people. Well, in the middle of us hanging out about 9-10 o'clock at night, because the way this casino is set up, you have the main floor and then the arena where they hold concerts is adjacent. This get connected. Yeah. So these doors open and hundreds of people start pouring out of this thing. And it was great because by the end of the night, because then when they start pouring out, the DJ is like, oh, I got to change up the music, you know, for the vibe. So he starts playing a lot of Mexican music. And the end of the night, it's me and Shannon up on stage trying to sing Mexican music. And it was kind of cool. All these people just poured out and started mixing together. You had all these mini truckers and all these people there for the Mexican concert. Yeah. And it was great. It was a really fun time.
That makes sense. Cause when I saw the map, I was like, oh, that's weird that they shifted the show area over.
Yeah.
There was something else I was going to say about that.
It's going to be fun. I always have fun that they started that show. We talked about the history of that show, but I guess we can go into it really quickly. Years ago, over 10 years ago, a long, long time ago, they had a member pass away. His name was Chubbs. He was Shannon Veranda's, Freakmaster Shannon's roommate. They were really close. He passed away. The very first show was held at I forget the name of it. It was basically a Fry's or a Best Buy, mm-hmm. You know, electronics store. And it was actually hosted by a club called Simply Choice. Mm-hmm. And because basically what they wanted to do is they didn't want to make it a freak event at that time because the guy had just passed away and they wanted to raise money. So they wanted to how do I put this? They didn't want it to be a freak event. So this other club decided to host it so they could participate as showgoers, mm-hmm. not as show throwers, basically. It was really big. It was really great. They did that for a couple of years. And then after that, they moved it to Stateline in 2015. They moved it to Stateline.
Yeah.
And it was called the Chubb Show for a very long time because it was in dedication to him and his family. And they still do to this day. They still raise money for his children and his wife they left behind and everything. Or not wife. I don't know. I may be wrong mm-hmm. on that. But anyway, so at some point they got away from calling it the Chubb Show and they called it the A Day to Remember Show now, which is still kind of hard for me because I've always called it the Chubb Show.
Yep, same here.
So I'll still refer to it as that sometimes. And I have to remind myself no, they're not necessarily rebranding it. It just makes more sense now being so long.
Yeah.
It makes more sense for it to be this
thing.
But no, it's a great show. Yeah. The people put on do great.
So we, Doug Creative House,
mm-hmm.
Made us a bunch of Drop Choice Awards.
Oh, cool.
So I'll put a picture here. He's going to send me a picture, but he sent me kind of one of it unfinished, but so we'll have that. So we're going to have these Drop Choice Awards at events coming up and, got a shout
and
out.
And we're going to have them for this weekend?
We're going to have one for this weekend. Yeah, I see. So I guess you have to go over there.
In an hour.
Yeah, you have to go over there and pick some stuff up. So he's like...
Yeah, I was doing that today, actually.
Yeah, so he's he'll give you those. And
cool, thanks, Doug.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. If you guys need stickers or awards mm-hmm. or anything like that, hit Doug up.
Yep.
Because he can do all that
stuff. He's our guy.
Yeah. And and then what else was I going to say? I don't know. Oh, bring an air mattress.
I have this thing. We'll talk about post-pod.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Is that it?
I think that's it.
Should we say anything about next weekend just so Will can get all up in his all mad?
Well, I don't know. So next week we'll answer questions. No, next week we're going to be doing an in-person because I'm coming out for Dino's.
Yep.
I'm coming out early, so we're going to do an in-person podcast with a guest, without a guest. I don't know. We'll see. It just might be you and me. Yep. It might be a surprise guest.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway.
All right.
LiveLifeCustom.com, Grander-TV.com.
Yes.
Bye.
Later.